take unto you at this little time, for the word, Lord, it shall be brought to our attention that even if already has been prayed, that the lips may be anointed, O God, and the ears may be anointed, and the hearts may be anointed to receive, and the lives, Lord Jesus Christ, are so fully edified by the word in our lives through the Spirit, that we might be that living word amongst the people this day. Help us now, Lord, and we know this is really redundant to ask you to help us, because we know you already have helped us, are helping us, but we will help us, that may we be aware of your helping hand tonight and all the grace which you have extended toward us. And while we commit ourselves to you, Lord, keep us ever mindful of thee in every moment on in this service, so that you should receive all the glory through all the preeminence. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Now, I want to take another message tonight, and this one is relative to knowing God's way in order to understand the times in which we live. And we'll take a search of Scripture to discover this. In the book of 1 Peter, just I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture to you. The first chapter, 3 verses 10 to 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, those prophets who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what for what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify or was declaring, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed. In other words, they got the prophecy that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire, and that word have it is an intense desire, to look into. Now I'll just quickly try to get a little verse back here in Daniel, just one verse, the 9th chapter, the 2nd verse. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, many things, as we're well aware, are set forth in the Word of God, and they're veiled in mysteries. Much of what is in the Bible is veiled in mysteries. And the people to whom it was written never clearly understood many of the great prophecies. Now, the very Scripture that we just read in 1 Peter proves that to be so, because Peter said that the prophets to whom the word was given tried to search the very manner in which the word would be fulfilled, and tried to find that word's place in the history of the people. That's what Daniel was trying to do. And he had already studied Jeremiah, who had prophesied or brought forth the word, and he tried to place what Jeremiah said in the lives of the people amongst whom he was living. And you'll notice that these people could not get the answers, because their prophecies were to be fulfilled in the future. And that's why Peter said they were ministering to us. Now, actually, you can take the book of Joel. Joel was ministering to us. You can take part of Isaiah. Isaiah was ministering to us. You can take what Paul said to his churches that he was the founder of and the spiritual charge of, that he was literally ministering to us. What they declared by the Spirit of God was not for themselves, but for others. And you can see how the prophets brought out God's great word, and that word was not for them, but it was for others. But someday, somebody was to receive the prophet's declared word. See, somebody, no matter what this prophet said, and they couldn't place it back in their day, there had to come a day when somebody would receive the prophet's declared word. See? And when the word came to the prophet, it was a great mystery to them. Like I've already said, it was mysterious. Even a prophet couldn't understand many times what the other prophet said. Like in the case of Daniel, he couldn't understand it. But one day, the mystery of God It contained in these declared word promises would come to an actual fulfillment to a people who would receive this word to whom it was given, and then the mystery would be resolved. See, there'd be no more mystery because the word would be revealed by its actual fulfillment to and in a certain people. Now, you understand that? See, you got to see that, because this brings us, will later bring us to this age in which we live. So the question arises, how did God make the people to understand what word was taking place in their days? See? Because you just can't always use history to look back. Because there's going to come a day when you're up to date, see? And time cuts off, see? Like it's going to this period. You follow me?
Amen.
See, now you can take the seven church ages, and it's very simple by history to place the church ages, and it's simple to place much of fulfilled prophecy by history. But there's going to come a day when God calls a halt. See? All right. If God calls a halt at a certain time, then who is going to continue on in order to look back upon fulfilled history when there isn't any more history going on? So, there's got to come a time, like in this day, to know if this is end time, what's going on in this age. See? There's a word for every age, like I showed you, in God revealing himself by the voice. John turned around to see the voice. And the voice gave the word to every age, and those that had an ear to hear heard, and the word of God was fulfilled to them, which was previously committed to them generations before perhaps, but now being fulfilled in them. See? And this mystery, we look back on, and we see it revealed. We say, well, that's all right, I can understand that. Understand that, understand that. But there's going to come a time when a group of people walking on this earth, as I said last night, will not die but receive the full benefits of the resurrection without being resurrected. Because you can't resurrect unless you're dead. And these aren't going to die. See, that's 1 Corinthians 15. That's a mystery of those living who will not die but share in the benefits of the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4 is the rapture. See, but 1 Corinthians is not really the rapture, although the rapture is indicated. Now, you've got this condition, see, that we come to. So the question comes up. How did God make the people to understand what word? See, what word was taking place in their day? How did the people truly identify? Now, watch this, because there's two kinds of people identifying. See? How did the people, the real people of God, truly identify with the Word? How did they know to identify with the Word? Because it's a mystery that's taking place. Now, on the other hand, how did the majority fail to truly see their identity in the Word? Because always when God brings His Word of promise and fulfillment, He also says something about the other side, see, the people that fail to see what's really going on. Now, you follow me so far? Now, I'm not talking in riddles here, but this is maybe kind of tough to get hold of. And I want you to see this. You with me now?
Amen.
The question comes up, see? These prophets have ministered down through these ages by the Word of God. And it's in mystery, see? It's hidden. Now, at the end age, there has got to come a fulfillment of the promises of God at this end age. And no use trying to look back, because there's no future to go into and look back on. You've got to suddenly find yourself right up to date and know the word for your day. See? Now, so the question comes up. Now, how did God get his people to know? What is the key to understanding the day of your fulfillment, see, of your place in the Word? And the next question comes up, how did the majority of people, you see, who don't truly identify with that Word, but they're also in Scripture. Now, how did they fail to identify with the word that was so clearly set forth to their age, yet they missed it entirely. See? Now, let me put it another way to get at the thought. God has made certain great and blessed promises to his people. Now, these promises are both temporary and consummation. In other words, God gives promises like, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, and that's one he can heal any time, any day of the week. And that's for anybody. That's for the evil man, and that's for the good man. That's no problem. There's no problem here at all. God can give each person his livelihood. In fact, you're going to hear, actually, in this day and age, more people who are the wrong seed are getting a better living than the Christian is, or the true seed. And yet, God has promised us to provide for his people. He's got a lot of temporary promises that are very wonderful, but there are consummation promises. And those consummation promises is what God said he is about to do and is doing through the ages concerning the disposition of his people in the eternal hereafter. Now, you see, your healing's fine, but that hasn't got anything to do with the future. Anybody can get healed. So your promises here about God providing, protecting, and so on, that's good. Anybody can have it. That's just good. Anybody can have that. You can be a seven-day Adventist as long as the day is long, be a prosperous man, happy, healthy, and wise, and what have you, and you can go to hell with flying colors. See, that's talking, comes like a penny coffin. This is a million miles. I never knew you. See? But there's going to be a group whose promises are consummation promises. My blessed, sit here in the throne prepared for you. See? Now, how are these mighty promises of the consummation promises, how are they going to be revealed to us so that we are in the blessed place of receiving them? Now, the promises of God that we're really talking about tonight have prophetical events surrounding them. In other words, there are certain stages of history, and God makes predictions and promises concerning them, wherein God is going to do these things for his people in bringing them into a place of fulfillment so that they can sit with him upon his throne. Now, being that the case, all history, and that's true, all history has become a waiting period for God's word to be fulfilled in his people. Now, that's right. All history is a waiting period, age by age, for God to fulfill his word in his people. And all history proves that those who have identified themselves with the fulfilling of his word. See, this talking about two groups now. See, two groups. All history proves that those in majority who have identified themselves with the fulfilling of God's word have miserably failed to receive the promises, which are consummation promises, and thereby be the children of God, and actually, all the while identifying themselves, when it comes to the showdown, they reject the word of God, and they slide right off into eternity. You still follow what I'm talking about now?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to understand now how I'm talking, and I'm talking about identifying. We're not using that word identification now just one way. I'm using it two ways. I'm using it like a little boy who it does belong to his father, and another little boy that doesn't belong to the man. And the little boy comes to the little boy that belongs to his daddy. He's got access and will have what his father has laid up for him. But the other fellow's a bogus. But he identifies, see? And you've got two people identifying, and they're religious. See? They're in the same camp. One is real and one is not. Now, the two major promises that we have in the Word of God, which upon all history depends, all history has is focused upon or contingent to dependent upon two major things in the Word of God, two and nothing else. These two are the coming of Messiah to Israel, number one, and number two, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for his Gentile bride. Nothing else really matters. Nothing. These are the two major events. These are the two major word promises. These are the two focal points of history. These are the two consummation promises, the great, tremendous utterances in the Word of God that balance out or cast out everything else in comparison. The first coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. Now, in the first case, talking about our message now, our introduction. In the first case, though Israel, to whom the word was given,
was properly identified with the Messiah, the promise of Messiah. She missed him almost entirely, except for a bare minority. See? Now, I told you to watch those two words, identified. In the first place, one was truly identified, and in the other place, the others had identified themselves with it. See? One, you may say, was identified by God, but the other identified themselves with God. See? Now, there's a big difference between the two. So, as in the first case, of the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Prince, who would be cut off, but not in their estimation, but as Messiah, Israel, who was properly identified with this word of promise, missed the Messiah except for a very bare minority. Now, let me show you that this was true, what I said, that Israel was properly identified with the promises. And she said, Messiah is coming to us. God will fulfill His word to us. We are the ones who will see this. This is ours. And they missed it. Right? Now, this is in Romans, the 9th chapter. We'll read verses 1 to 8. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing you witness in the Holy Ghost. But I have great heaviness and continual sore in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. See? Were they kinsmen of Paul? Definitely. Was he a part of them? Definitely. Were they a part of him? Yes, sir. Did Paul have Christ? Sure did. Did the rest? No, sir. Now, who are Israelites? To now watch what they had in their favor, see? To whom pertaineth the adoption, that's the placing of sons, and the glory, and the covenant, and the giving of law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the Father, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ did come. All right? Now let's read on. If this is the case, how then is it? Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Here? Did it take effect up here? No, sir. Sounds like this is a complete washout. Yet it says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. They are not all Christians who embrace the Christian religion. See? Neither because are they Abraham's seed, or the seed of Abraham, are they all children. See? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham had how many sons? Ishmael, Isaac, 7 more. 9 children. But only one was called his child. Say, well, how can God do a thing like that? He did it. He never gave one bit of credit to Ishmael and one bit of credit to 7 sons. In fact, you can't find any trace in history concerning the 7 sons of Abraham. He gave them gifts and sent them away. And that's what God did in every age. He gave them gifts of the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. They talked in tongues. They interpreted. They prophesied. And they prayed for the sick. And then one day they're going to say, I never knew you. And they're going to say, we did this, that. And he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. See? Get the scripture there now. Now, verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. See? Do you know you can have a religion of the flesh and be just so close to the real thing and miss it? These are not the children of God, but the children, notice, but the children of the promise. I told you about promises being fulfilled, consummation promises. These are the ones that are getting the promises. The children of the promise are counted for seed. God promised what? You're going to have a son by Sarah. All right, that makes all the other sons no sons. They don't count. He could have 50 wives and 5,000 boys and girls. You wouldn't count. Why? Because they were right in the part and parcel of it, but they were going to miss what God had said would be fulfilled in them. But they're right in there slugging and drying. They were just like old Esau, slugging and crying beside Jacob. Bless me, O my father. Haven't you got something to meet you? Let the heavens open. Let me be in this thing too. No, you despised your birthright. You were in this thing in the first place.
Amen.
See? See, so you now you understand that? So, 27 to 29 now. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. See? A remnant shall be saved. Now, the question arises, did God give a blanket promise in the coming of Messiah to Israel? He certainly did give a blanket promise in the coming of Messiah to Israel. But who received it? A bare minority. Who didn't get it? The great majority. But they were identified with him. Weren't they? Just the same as the minority were, but they missed it. 100%. See? For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said, except the Lord of the harvest, see, had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been like Gomorrah. Now you can see right here what we're talking about. That Israel, in the whole, was identified with the Messiah because he was coming to Israel. But only a minority were properly identified with him to receive him as the great Messiah. Now, why did Israel, all the while identifying herself with the Word, promised Messiah? Now, he was the Word, promised Messiah, right? Word, promised, W-R-D, capital W-R-D, Word of God, promised Messiah. Miss him. The answer is very evident. Christ came, now listen, Christ came according to the Word. Exactly as God said he would come, but contrary to Israel's interpretation of that same word. You follow that? You get it? Now you can see the sermon I preached in three sermons here. The rapture. And explaining to you the Lord himself descending with a shout from heaven, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. I explained to you and showed you what the revealed word to the prophet in this age really meant, but you can't find the people of this age interpreting the Word of God any different from the way Israel did. They've got the Word, but they got it all wrong. Now, Christ came according to the Word, exactly as God said he would come. Amen. Well, you say, that's simple, Brother Bill. I can look back and see it filled. They didn't have anything to look back on because they met him face to face that day. There wasn't going to be any history to look back on and say, well, there he was. And one of these days, there's going to be the same thing happened to our age. We're going to come face to face with God, and it's going to be too late. There won't be any history to look back on and say, well, I can see how that's fulfilled. I can see how that's fulfilled. I can see that. We look back and we say to the Jew, well, isn't it strange they didn't take him? There it is, Isaiah 53, all fulfilled. He came just like Isaiah 53 said he would come. He came just like the Scripture said he would come. Like Zechariah said he would come. He came exactly as the Bible said he'd come. Just like the book of Micah said he would come. There's no doubt about it. He came exactly. But he didn't come according to their interpretation of the Word. Now, mind you, they were identified with the Word. And they were properly identified with the Word. But the majority missed it. Now, that is the crux of the whole matter. They were looking for him. And don't think they weren't, because they were. They were identifying themselves with him, and don't think that they weren't, because they were. They were looking for Messiah. They were identifying themselves with the fulfillment of God's good word, and yet they missed him. They claimed, or they literally took, the promise of the coming of the Word of God, and they claimed it, and yet they lost it. And brothers, sisters, this will repeat in this last age, because this is the great lie of this age. Millions are believing that they're born again and will be ready for the rapture, and those same millions will fail to make the rapture because only a bare handful will. Yes. And yet they're absolutely in the Word looking for him. They've identified themselves with the Word, but they're going to miss it, just like Israel did. Now, let us look at Israel at the time of the first coming of Christ and analyze the situation. Israel, first of all, and rightly so, see, claimed an assured relationship to God both physically and spiritually. Now they said, look, we're God's children. We've got a right to Messiah. When he comes to us. We've been waiting all these years. We're in the Word. We've got it all laid out. Now he'll come to us. Let's see what the book of John says in chapter 8. Looking at verse 41 first. Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Did you miss what I just read there, you that believe in serpent seed? Can you see serpent seed there?
No.
They said, we're not born of fornication. Who fornicated? Even the serpent. They said, yeah, Abraham's our father. We trace him right back to Abraham. We trace him right back to Adam because they could. And they said, all right, our father is Abraham, who came right from the loins of from Adam and from the womb of Eve. Pure human being, children of God. Did you think they didn't understand serpent seed? Come on. Or do you think that we not be born of fornication? They said, we're making a jibe at Christ? This is no jibe at Christ as though you were born in fornication. This is what they did. They said they went right to God. And we're talking about fornication between men and women here now. They were tracing their genealogy. Adam was the son of God, and therefore Seth was the son of Adam, so therefore Seth was the son of God. And they traced their lineage all the way down, and by the flesh they said, we're children of God. The rest of the world's in fornication because they belong to serpents. They had genealogy to prove it, brother, sister. Let's face it. You can trace Abraham right back to Noah. Huh? Certainly, that's your serpent seed. They said, we have one Father, even God. See? Now let's look at verse 33. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We never were in bonds to any man. How sayest thou? You should be made free. Notice that they claimed an assured relationship to God, both physically and spiritually. Why, they said, we're free men. We're spiritual individuals. We belong to God. We've got the promise of God. The very promise of Abraham. We've got a history, our genealogy. If anybody knows God, we know God. Now you can't deny that. God's amongst us. We had the prophet. We had the law. We had the temple. We've got this. We can look back in our age. We can see prophecy fulfilled. Why, certainly we're that people of God. They made their claim that they were that people of God. They were very strong and staunch in it. That they were the people. So you say, that's a great testimony. Yes, sir, we've got the same thing right today, a testimony. If you shall believe in your heart and declare with your mouth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, you just got to be saved. We've got the same thing going on right today. Secondly, they govern access to God and worship to God. Look at the 9th chapter of John, verse 22 to 34. And 34, rather. Verse 22. This is concerning the man that got healed in the 39th year, I think it was. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that Jesus was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And if you got put out of the synagogue, brother, sister, you're gone. Because you didn't have a chance of temple worship, and therefore you couldn't properly worship and have the sacrifice offered, they committed you to limbo or to the lake of fire. You were wiped out of God's grace, it's not a God's book. Chapter, verse 34, the same chapter. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They called him a sinner. They didn't recognize him as a part of Israel. Maybe this could have been the spurgeon on his birth. Who knows? You know, they governed access to God and worship of God. They certainly did. Now, can the people do that? They had a right. There was only one place you could meet God, and that was by way of the temple. God wasn't down in Rome. God wasn't down in Athens. He wasn't in Corinth. He wasn't in Ephesus. He wasn't in Diopolis. He was over there in Jerusalem only. The only place you could have access to God was in the holy city. The only place where the worship was. Only one place where the ark and the cherubim were. There was only one place of the real Levitical priesthood. That's why they came every year and worshiped. From even foreign lands. They wanted to make sure that they had their part in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, you shut up the kingdom of God and you bind men. They positively were in a position that they had authority. And they exercised that authority. They claim to know the Word of God with the ability to interpret it. In verse 29 of the same chapter of John, it says, we know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, as for this Christ, this Jesus, we know not from whence he is. See? They said, we know Moses' law. And they knew the Word of God. Their theologians knew the Word of God. Did the Romans know the Word of God? No, they didn't know the Word of God. Did the Athenians know the Word of God? They didn't know the Word of God. Who knew the Word of God? There was only one group of people who knew the Word of God. The Israelites, the scribes and the Pharisees. They had the Word of God. They read the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. They ministered the Word of God. They positively had a worship within the church. They claimed that they were the only ones, however, who had the right to interpretation. They said, we're the group. There isn't anybody else knows what this word is. And if you don't listen to us, you've got to be wrong, because we say so. They had a very strong, tightly knit organization with their little hierarchy in order to rule all the masses and the people. And they certainly did rule them. Now, notice that not only did they claim that they had a right to the ability to interpret the Word of God, that they knew the Word of God, but furthermore, they repudiated word fulfillment given by divine intervention and desired their own criteria. See? They went so far as to absolutely put to one side any possibility of them being wrong. They thought, now we'll sew this thing up and nobody can possibly make us wrong. As long as we can bullheadedly plow our way through this thing while we're positively going to inherit the kingdom of God. So when the God, Word of Almighty God became fulfilled by divine intervention. Now notice what I said. When the Word of God became fulfilled by divine intervention, God doing a tremendous thing to prove that to His Word for that day, they just turned their noses up at it, they repudiated it, and they desired their own criteria. They said, well, if there's going to be any kind of intervention, we'll set the laws down how there ought to be an intervention. Then if God acts according to the laws we lay down, we'll say, all right, we made a mistake, and this is God after all. Is that right? You know it's right. We go to John 7, 3 to 5. And his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Notice what Jesus' brethren said. Go on hence. Go into Judea. Don't stick around this one little corner here. Go to Judea, that your disciples also there may see the works that you do. For now notice why they said it. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. But for neither did his brethren believe on him. If you can't see Satan there, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If thou be the Son of God, jump off the wall. If thou be the Son of God, well, come on, you say the king's yours? Let's take a shortcut. You worship in heaven right now. Let's not wait for tomorrow. See, they laid down their own criteria. They said to Jesus, no man who wants to be known openly does things in secret. Come on out in the light and give us some proof. Come on out here and show who you are. See? Do it our way. See? Stand up and be counted. But you better stand up and be counted the way we tell you stand up and be counted. Because otherwise we're not going to believe it. Let's go back here to Matthew, the 12th chapter. And see the very, and see something else. Matthew 12 and 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. Well, what sign do you want? Well, he hit that right in the butt. He said, there isn't any sign going to be given you but the Word of God. Well, that's what he said. He said, this generation is an adulterous and evil generation, seeketh after a sign. But there shall be no sign given it but something that's already in the Bible. Oh, they didn't like that. Now, if you're going to this Messiah, I'll tell you what you do. Now, I know what God, if you're this one that can do all these things, you're going to be bigger than Moses. Because we know that Moses said the Lord God is going to raise up a prophet amongst the brethren. And you're going to listen to him, or everybody's going to get cut off. Now, you know that's the case. There's a pretty big prophet coming. We also know the Messiah is going to sit upon the throne of his father David. We know that. All right. Let's you go ahead and raise up your army and throw an atomic bomb at that bunch of Romans over there. Clean up the citadel out there. Go on, blast it, lower it to the ground. Let's take a crack at Rome and put it out of existence once and for all. Come on, let's have a sign. See? And he said, I'm sticking to the scripture. See? What kind of a sign would you want tonight? What would be your answer? Are you willing to abide by scripture? for a revelation by the Spirit of the living God? Or would you like someone to come on the scene tonight with power and absolute to demonstrate according to your requisite what you want? No, the Lord Jesus came on the scene and he read the hearts of the people. And the hearts of the people being read, some of them said, why, the guy's got a devil. Cheap trick of ESP. Cheap old trick that any old witch of Endor can do. Why, I've been to meetings myself. When I was a 16-year-old kid, I saw a man from London, England, and I forget his name. Lord Duxbury was a pantomimist, monologist, but this fellow's name was Duxbury. Yeah, his name was Duxbury, not Lord Duxbury. His name was Duxbury, I think it was. Anyway, something like that. And he came over and I saw him, and he wouldn't even ask him a question. He'd just say, think your question. And he'd stand there, and right away he could tell you your name and what your question was. And he did it by the power of the devil. And Jesus Christ came on the scene. See? And he didn't do great and mighty things if you wanted him to do, but he could read their heart. And they said, well, that guy's a devil. He's got a devil doing it. He healed the sick. And they said, he's got a devil doing it. He cast a devil. They said, he's got a devil doing it. And he said, now listen, let's do my sign. Never mind what the Bible says, what the real signs are. Never mind the evidence in here. Just blind your eyes and close your ears and forget it. Just demand what you want to say. If the whole thing's of God, but I'm in God's pocket just the same. The word of God's mine. Hallelujah. When Messiah cometh, he'll come right to us because we're the people. They said that in Christ's day. They said the same thing to Larry Smith in Chicago. They said, Branham, why, that's false prophet. Why, they said, if he'd have been a real prophet, he'd have come to us. You taking a bunch of Pentecostal people say things like that? You bet your life they didn't. If they'd have come, he'd have come to them and done what they wanted, he'd have been the man of God. They'd have listened. But the minute that he didn't come to them and tell them what they wanted, then he wasn't that man of God. You see, you say, well, Brother Bill, that sounds just like those old Pharisees. You mean they're shutting up the heavens and they're binding the word of God? They certainly were. Just like the Pharisees. You see, if these people were in the word, they weren't a bunch of heathen in Rome. They weren't a bunch of worshippers of Diana in Corinth and Ephesus. They weren't a bunch of Hottentots in Africa, eating snakes and becoming cannibals and killing each other and drinking each other's blood. They weren't Indians here in America. They're snake dancers, and they're rain dancers, and they're corn dancers. They were people in the Word who worshiped God in the temple according to the Word, and yet they were a million miles off of the truth. It was this very attitude that caused them to deny John the Baptist. They came to John the Baptist and said, who are you? Are you that Christ? He said, no. Are you that prophet? He said, no. Are you Elijah? He said, no. Are you this or that? He said, no, I am not. And who are you? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am Malachi 3. And they said, you're what? They said, man, you've got to be kidding. They wanted John to say what they wanted to say. They wanted John to tell the soldiers their answer. John the Baptist said, you generation of vipers, who warned you that Satan wrath to come? He said, bring forth fruit and eat revenge.
Amen.
But they said, what do you mean you're telling us to bring forth fruit and eat revenge? We are. We're the children of God. We're the children of Abraham. We have got the temple. Where else is there a temple to God? Where else is the word of God? Where else is the worship of God? Where was it? No place. They were 100% identified and 100% wrong. And brother, sister, they're just as sure as you and I are here tonight that they're 100% right. They went to John. They couldn't change John's mind, though. Why? Because John came in simplicity. The word of God said, when this voice of one cry and will it make a straight path for the Lord God coming, why, the high hills are going to come on down and the low places come up. And they said, that's politics. God's going to make us a great nation. But it wasn't. It was their thinking which they had exalted against God was going to be dropped down to the dust. And the lonely ones like the old harlot out there in Samaria and the prostitute who washed his feet would be raised up with the common fishermen, while the scribes and the Pharisees, brother and sister, would be lowered to the dust.
Amen.
God lowered them all. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned it on our own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. But they said, who wants it? Now, you can't deny they were right in the place where his brother Branham preached. It was the holiest city. It was the holiest people, and they crucified the holy God. Most religious people in the world. And they were the only one, brother, sister, absolutely the only one to whom Christ could come. He came unto his own, and his own refused him. But as many as received him, a little remnant in there, who could were identified correctly with the word, and had received the word's own interpretation of that word, not man, not his creed, not his dogma, not his organization, not his plans, not his ideas, but exactly what God said. It caused them to deny the sufferings of Christ, which should precede the glory that they were willing to take. They wanted the glory, but they wouldn't take the suffering.
Amen.
They wanted the fullest, but they wouldn't take the way to get there. They denied the cross entirely. And furthermore, not only was this so, but brothers and sisters, they claimed the discernment of spirit as they looked at God manifest in flesh. And they looked God right in the eye, because he said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And they looked him right in the eye, and they said, "You devil." Well, if that isn't discernment of spirit, what is it? They claimed that they had discernment of spirits, Matthew 12:24. And when the Pharisees heard it, the people were saying, "It's not just the son of David." What's the son of David? The greater son of David was the Messiah. It's not just the Messiah. Isn't this the promised one? Isn't this the king of Israel? Isn't this the word fulfilled? They said, "Why, listen, you poor shit. What do you know about that? Us big lobsters, we're the lobsters, you're just the shrimp. We're running things here. This is our sea we're in. Why, this is not the one. This is the wrong. What do you know about discerning spirits?" Discerning the spirits, brother, this is not a thing you get to educate.
Amen.
They're educated. See, they have all the dogmas. They had their own critique, their criterion, their guideposts. And they threw away the word, which was the interpretive word for the promise of the day. Now notice, they wanted the promise, but they threw away the interpretive word for the promise. And they missed it. Because the same word said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, turning everyone our own way. He was wounded for our transgressions, whose iniquity? The Lord had laid upon him our transgressions." They didn't want it. They wanted the glory that should follow. But they wouldn't take the scriptural interpretation which was there in the scripture, because Christ came according to the word, but not according to their interpretation. So therefore, they said, "We won't have anything to do with it." They believed that they were right in discerning of spirits. In the book of John, the 10th chapter, and in verse 20, "And many of them said, 'He hath the devil and is mad. Why do you hear him?'" See? He, as I said a while ago, he read their heart. Well, that's the devil doing it. I told you I'd seen the same thing. You can go any place you want. But isn't it strange, brother, sister, the fact that he was not possessed of the devil and yet he did those things? Did they stop and begin to figure out if there was scripture concerning it? But no, they said, "We want our own ideas. Let him do what we say. Let him give us our sign, or he's got a devil." You got the very same today. When Brother Branham came on the scene and he read the people's hearts, they said, "So what?" When he called them by name, they said, "So what?" They saw the great manifestation and they took on their brother sister just like a mouse will kick cheese. Or you can catch chickens and ducks by feeding them grain. Oh, they went after that in a hurry. But the minute the man rose up and he told them the word of God according to the true scriptural interpretation surrounding the promises of this day, they said, "Why, listen to that fella. He doesn't know theology. Why, in the trance he can tell you what's wrong with your stomach, whether you got bad breath or ingrown tonus, but it is, doesn't matter. That's fine. He's perfect there. But when it comes to the word, he doesn't know what he's talking about." And yet the same people call him a prophet. Well, if a prophet doesn't know the word, I want to ask you one question to do this. See, they're going to eat their own words. But they don't believe that, of course. Just like in the days of Jesus Christ. You see, the king is never one in which the failure has to do with absolute ignorance of the Word. See? That's where people get hooked from today's message. They say, well, now, just a minute. You've got to be absolutely ignorant of the Word. We're not. You look at us, Brother Branham, and you guys that preach that he was the end-time messenger. You look at us as though we don't have a thing. You talk to us as though we don't know any word. You act as though there's some strange thing there that you've got and we haven't got. See, they don't understand that when you're dealing with God's Word and the history of God's people, it's not that they haven't got a lot to do with the Word. They've got a lot to do with the Word. But a tremendous amount. It's not failure. It's not their failure to take the Word of God, that is to say, a lot of the Word of God, or throw the whole thing in the garbage bin. That's the communists did that. God's not dealing with the commies. He's dealing with the Christian end age when the old religious Roman Empire is revived and the old harlot takes over through the money the whole world system. See? And she'll do it. Because right today, the communist country cannot exist without the West. There is no such thing, brother, sister, as the commies ever getting along without it. That's why they're biding their time to take us over. And they will. At the very end of time, they'll eat the flesh of the harlot by their atomic bomb. Don't worry. Right as Armageddon comes. I don't believe Armageddon is necessarily Christ just blowing the world up by himself. It's the world blowing itself up. See, you got the trouble. No, sir. It's not the failure. It's not in which the failure has to do with absolute ignorance of the Word, as though they knew nothing at all. They are looking for a fulfillment, but not according to truth. See? Israel was looking for the Messiah, but not according to truth. See? You got to watch that. Let's look at the book of Matthew. Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 to 6. This is concerning the Magi. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, behold, wise men came from East Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when Herod, now Herod was a Jew, see, he wasn't Roman. And when Herod had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. All right? Let's go back and see that. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Now they didn't understand what that meant, but they knew positively, because they were not devoid of Scripture, that Christ would come out of Bethlehem. See? They knew he would come. They knew where he would come. They knew his lineage. See? And he came. And he did go there. But when he came, he didn't come according to their understanding of the Scripture, their interpretation, though he came like Scripture said. Unto us a son, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Exactly. But they didn't have it. They couldn't take it. See? Now, much Scripture is very evident. You see, as Daniel said, Daniel looked at Scripture concerning Jeremiah, and he said it's supposed to happen, but he couldn't get it. It hadn't been revealed to him. And these people did not have the Word of God revealed, but they have the Word, see? Mm. Now, while Israel in majority was doing this, there was nonetheless a small remnant to whom Scripture was being revealed, see? Now, let's go back here to the book of Luke for a second. But in verse 13 of chapter 1, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Now you talk about a trick. You ever heard of a man having the Holy Ghost before he's born? Here he is. See? Why, would you believe that for 1 minute? Sitting here as ordinary Christian, no, that couldn't happen, but it did.
Amen.
See? And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of father children, the disobedient, the wisdom of just, and to make ready a people prepared to the Lord. Now, of course, this is found in Malachi and in Isaiah. See? Now, what was it? The angel of God appeared to a man telling him of the future which was coming upon the earth. An angel appeared at this juncture, at the first great thing of history. Now, all history has focal points. The two focal points are the first coming and the second coming. And the first coming, a few people were in on the secret through divine intervention and revelation.
Amen.
Notice, in the book of Luke also, the angel, well, we could take the book of Luke, fine, first chapter 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, while we read, let's read here. And an angel came unto her, verse 20, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, not over women, but just among them. You're blessed among them. And when she saw him, she was troubled at saying, and so on. The angel said, Fear not, thou hast found favor with man, with God. Verse 35, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here the angel of God came and told her how the scripture would be fulfilled. See? You see, the Jews didn't believe that. Why, they said, that's a lot of nonsense, God coming down and starting somebody in a woman's womb. See, they didn't understand. No understanding at all. Now look, they had the scripture, and their interpretation simply was that a young woman would have a child. All young women look forward to marriage. That's what they want, to have a child. And they look forward to that child to being the king of Israel, like women today look forward to having a son that could sit upon the president's chair of the United States. You see, they didn't understand. But the scripture was there. But the angel of God came and revealed to her the scripture, that this was Isaiah 7 and 14, 9 and 6. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And again unto us a child is born unto us, the son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be the everlasting Father, mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and so on. Right down the line. And if they increase his government, there's going to be no end to sit upon the throne of his father David. This was the one. And the angel came and told her what it was. See? The interpretation. But the rest of the people looking for the fulfillment did not receive the truth because they had their own interpretation. That was all wrong. Now, you see, they were looking for the right thing. Well, they sure were. They were looking for the right thing, but they missed it. In a dream, the angel revealed to Joseph the truth of his wife Mary according to the scripture. See, it's got to be in the Word. See, in the desert, God spoke to John and revealed to John who he was and what his mission was and how he was identified with Christ. In the book of Luke also, it tells us here how that Simeon and Anna, it says here in the second chapter, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, the same with Simeon, the same man was just, devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was in the same spirit. He was waiting for Christ to come. He wanted Messiah. Notice, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Not an angel, but the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him. How? By the Holy Ghost. What's the office work of the Holy Ghost? To reveal to the saints. What is his evidence? To reveal the Word to the saints. Does this prove the man had the Holy Ghost? Certainly it proves he had the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost took the Word for his day and gave it to him. And he didn't turn it up. Oh, now that can't be right. My goodness me, I know better than that. The Holy Ghost said, you're not going to see death before you've seen the Lord Christ. Do you believe that God could show somebody really that they wouldn't die before Christ will come? Absolutely. Oh, now, come now. You won't know the day and the hour. But God could tell us today by the Holy Ghost, by divine revelation, everyone tonight could know that Christ would be here within 1 week and you wouldn't spoil the Word of God. You see? You believe that?
Amen.
Well, you better believe it because you got scripture for it. And it says, he came by the Holy Spirit. I think I'll go for a walk today. I think I'd better go to the temple. Hard walk. But God said, go to the temple now. At this moment. And he came by the Spirit of the temple. And when the parents had brought in the child to do him after couple, now that's circumcision, no doubt, offering and circumcision. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. According to what word? I've seen your salvation. A child is born to us. This is the Christ. See? Praise God, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He went on to say, for thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light you Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. You know what? He had the word, and that's in the word. But Israel didn't believe that. They said, he's all for us, and we'll put the Gentiles down. We'll sit on top of them, and we'll listen to us, and we'll read them, and that's Christ come. Anything else to forget? Was it in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Did he get it from God? He did. Did he see the fulfillment? Yes. Was the word fulfilled in him? Yes. Was he the one who was the prophet given? Yes. Did the rest get it? No. Anna. And there was Anna, a prophetess, the father of Samuel, the father of Asher. She was of a great age. And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 4 score and 4 years. Real old woman. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. That's a woman's good place to do that. Instead of preaching so long. And she came in that instant and gave thanks likewise, the Lord. And spoke with him to all of them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Did she have a proper revelation? She certainly did. What is the Holy Ghost given for? To reveal the things of God. And did these people have the Holy Ghost? Jesus said the others did. Why did they need the Holy Ghost? To make the Word of God real for their day.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah, well, the thing is to make Jesus Christ real, is it? Jesus Christ is real right now. He's plainly real by the fact thousands are healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, and taking in millions of dollars doing it with the golden calf scheme. I'm ashamed to see people raise money for universities and now Billy Graham buying a $5 million ship. Golden calf scheme that sinks to high heaven. Now, I'm not against money because I just don't have any. I've got plenty to get by on the earth. I just know one thing. I want to do everything I can to get ready against the day when we need nothing but God, because that day is coming for the sister. I want to be sure I'm standing in the right place. And they look me in the eye, looking right back. And die if I have to die, or live the way I'm supposed to live. And now today, just prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his Gentile bride, we have a repeat performance of exactly what went on when Christ came and they refused him, though they were looking for him, they missed him, though they had the word, they had it wrong, and their name off the book of life.
Amen.
There's coming a day when the chaff, brother, sisters, have burned up when God takes his wheat.
Amen.
Now remember, brother, sister, God taking his wheat is the present bride, not under the ground, because he burns up the chaff. In this age. Although that wheat will come ahead of it, don't worry. But it's an end time message. Now, first of all, the Gentile church system identifies itself with God, claiming a true relationship to him. In this day when they're looking for Christ, they say positively, they know God and are known of God. Now, the Bible distinctly says that you can't know the Father without the Son. And they say, we know the Son, therefore we know the Father. And you say, well, who is the Son? And they say he is the second person of Trinity. There are no three people in Trinity. There is only one. And Jesus said, I am the first and the last. Now, brother, sister, let me ask you a question. Can you have a first and a last without a middle? Can you have two ends of a board without something between? Then how can Jesus be first and last and miss the middle? If he's the first and last, then he's the Father and the Spirit. And there ain't no middle. There's no Son. He said, hold it, there's got to be a Son. There was, right. But he said, he that hath seen me has seen the Father, because I am the Father. So the Son is the Father.
Amen.
And the first is the last. There's one God.
Amen.
But they try to tell you they know God through the Son. They don't even know who he is. You say, Brother Dale, what's that got in everything? Because this is the age where Jesus, by the Word, is the Amen and revealed by the prophet. So if they don't know who the Amen is, brother, sister, and they don't know who the bridegroom is, they've missed God, though they claim all the relationship in the world to him.
Amen.
They say, I belong to God because I've been born of the Holy Ghost. I got news for them. If you claim you got the Holy Ghost and don't know the word for your day, and you turn down the interpretation of the vindicated Holy Ghost messenger for the day, which is in Revelation 10 and 7, then you do not have the Holy Ghost, you just think you do. And I can prove that you just think you do, because it's simple as ABC to prove it, because I've got the Bible for it. And when I've got the Bible for it, I don't have to go humming and hawing and wandering around looking for something. I know where it is. It says right here in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, and in verse 14, 13-17 starting, because thou sayest, notice they're talking. They're not listening.
Amen.
They're not listening. Well, does it say they're listening? They're not listening, they're talking. And you can't listen while you talk.
Amen.
Can't be done. I am rich and increased with goods. This is what they're saying. And have need of nothing. And knowest not. And you don't know, said God. In other words, you've lacked the revelation of your true spiritual condition. Oh, they look back at Israel. Oh, look at Israel. Shame on those scribes and Pharisees. Shame on the way they acted. Shame on the way they taught. Shame on the way they thought. Oh, they thought they were so smart. They thought they were in God's pocket. They thought they knew the truth. They thought they were the whole sheep. Look where they went. Oh, how my, they can point the fingers for them. The Bible says right here, it says, you're just as stupid. You Laodicean church. You don't know. You talk about knowing. You act as though you know the Word of God, just like the Jews did back in that day. My, you could quote the Scripture. What about this Christ said Jesus one day? Oh, he lives forever. We know about it. Oh, yes, sir, God. Comes out down there, Bethlehem of Judea. Yes, sir, he talks right to face. You know God. Sure know God. Came from Abraham, child of God. Who am I? You devil, you. I want to get this across to you so you're going to be strong in the days to come. Get it, brother, sister. That these Jews were religious. They were the tops of the ages. They weren't a bunch of gangsters, bank robbers, idolaters, drinking blood out of a skull, digging up corpses for necromancy. Not for 1 minute. They were the organized intelligentsia of the day that had ganged up to bring the promises of God to pass. And you've got every Pentecostal, every fundamental day doing the very same thing. They're raising billions of dollars to make sure that Christ will come, because we're going to bring them in, bless God, and we're going to bring them in our way. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
And they're liars, they're fools, they're blind, they're deaf, and they're dumb.
Amen.
Amen.
Not so much to say the word they're fools, but they're fools. What it is. They're completely fooled by the Spirit. They believe the lie. They believe the lie. The Bible said they would, and they're doing it. It said, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked.
Mm.
You think anybody can walk in the presence of God naked? Not a chance. Now, here's what he said. I counsel thee. Here's my word, saith the Amen. Here's my word, says the one God. Not two words, not three words. One word by one God, who is Lord Jesus Christ, Spirit. I counsel thee to buy gold of me, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Never mind this talk about money and acting as though that's going to do something for you. You've got this, you've got that, you can therefore do. As I said not long ago, as Hudson Taylor, I believe, once said, if it took machinery to serve God, let us double our machinery and be twice as effective. And as I said not long ago in a sermon, and I stick with it, if gold is so important, why did God give us the Holy Ghost? Why not gold? He tells you, he said, you stink at the end age, you've taken gold instead of the Holy Ghost. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, thou mayest be rich. White raiment, you may be clothed. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. And here is where the King James Version throws you, because the translation is so poor, brother, sister. And I'm sorry, I'm ashamed, because this will destroy people who don't know what the word really says. It doesn't say anoint thine eyes. But that's as though you've got the Holy Ghost. Listen to him. That's as though you've got the anointing, get with it, but it doesn't really say that in the Greek. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, raiment, and eye salve. They haven't got the eye salve, so they can't be anointed, but they say they have. Well, it's that folk with tongues, I cast out devils, I hear the sick. There's a day coming, he said, I never knew a bunch like you. So what is that? The Pharisees could tell why. They said, we worshiped in the temple, we gave the right sacrifice, we had the Levites, we did all of this thing, we obeyed all these laws, we were good moral men. He said, yes, but you crucified Christ, take the names out of it. I want you to see that. See, you've got to understand, it's the group within the group, and you're not surrounded as I mentioned a while ago, of course, that these men are the golden calf. That's true. But under them are thousands, if not millions, of sincere, godly, wonderful, sweet, beautiful people who would die for Christ. Give everything they have and lay their bodies crossing our street for the chariots of hell to drag over them. And they wouldn't whisper one word, but, oh, God, I love you. And they'll go down, brother, sister. You say, that can't happen. I want to show you it did happen. I've got to show you to see this. Because this is the toughest thing to say. To see, you say, well, my God wouldn't do that. Your God wouldn't? What kind of a God do you serve? The God of the Bible? The God of this book? Or the God of your imagination? You got an imagination, fine, use it. See where it gets you. Get you to hell. The Bible says, pull down every imagination, every reasoning. And to the obedience of us, to the obedience of this word, to do it, to believe it. Not do it, believe it. He said, well, that'll make us do something. It'll make you do something. But don't you put your works out of believing.
Amen.
You got to be like James. He said, if you've got faith, it'll work out, something will work out. But you don't try to make faith work out by you doing something. That's a wrong understanding. The Gentile system identified itself as a true relationship with God. They do right today. They identify themselves with God and with His Word, brother, sister, just like the Jews. Secondly, they govern access to God and worship of Him. I'm going to prove it. You say, brother, they don't do that to us. Oh, come on now. When you stepped out of your old dead organized churches or your parents ahead of you, didn't they say you were going to hell? And don't they tell everybody else that comes here you're going to hell? You look at the Pentecostal. Show me one Pentecostal that doesn't condemn Brother Branham and those who believe him.
Amen.
You don't mean to tell me if that doesn't regulate the heaven, the kingdom of God, and say whether you can come or go, then I don't know the meaning of anything. I'm just a poor ignorant fool. And you better not call me that because I think I can pass a few intelligent tests. I'm analytical enough to know the situation, what's going on. They may be blind, but I'm not. See? Every time anybody ever came out of anything, that group was hounded down like Pharaoh tried to kill the Israelites. There never was a group that came out that wasn't excoriated, lied about, threatened, and everything else. There never was a group that came out that weren't the ones hunted and penalized, maliciously persecuted, hailed into court and everything else. Why? Because you didn't go the way they went. If you didn't have me that in your old church over here in birth, then I'll eat my shirt. And I'll tell you one thing, you didn't come out of anything, you're still cool. You're going to have it, you've got to have it. Because the kingdom of God demands persecution. And who's going to do the persecuting? The bride persecute the bride? Don't be ridiculous. The bride's got the Holy Ghost. She knows which way the wind blows. She knows it. She knows the Scripture. She's got Him who reveals the Scripture. And those who don't know the Scripture, they'll do exactly contrary to Scripture and think they're in the Word. Right? Certainly. This was the day of Christ. It's the same day today. The day of Christ in the flesh, repeat. The day of Jesus in the Word, brother, sister, because today He's coming as the Word. Revealed Word. They claim to know the Word of God and indeed surely know His great promises of His coming. But like Israel, they interpret the Word, the interpretation of the Word is according to tradition and not revelation. You ask anybody today in the fundamental church, is the handwriting on the wall? They say, yes, sir. Is Jerusalem no longer trodden down? Yes, sir. Are the Jews back in Palestine? Yes, sir. Do you believe the fall over? Yes, sir. How is He coming? Well, He's coming like a great flash herald, and He's coming to the blow, we're going to be gone. They missed the prophet. Elijah must first come and restore. I say, what about Elijah? He's got to come first. Not that's the Jews. That's this. That's what you say. The Bible says that. Oh, the Bible does say so. And I interpret it right. Dr. Gabling says so. Dr. Gray says so. Dr. Moody says so. Where's their vindication? Where's their vindication? I can take tonight, brother, sister, if you want, and I'm not sarcastic, just tell you the truth. I can take and show you that Harry Beecher Stowe's brother, DeWitt Talmage, you get to tell me. He positively wrote sermons that you would claim were anointed by the Holy Ghost, were as evangelistic as any you had ever read in your life on any type of paper, in any type of book, and yet positively that Finney had to rebuke him in his day because Mr. DeWitt Talmage was an antinomianist who believed you couldn't know you were born again to judgment day. And if you were elect, you didn't need to be saved or born again. You just make it anyway. And yet he preached sermons so brilliant to Talani's authors, and yet that was his complete doctrine. 100 million miles out from the truth. You've got the same people right today in this world. And they say, certainly He's coming. You say, where is Elijah? Jerusalem is no longer trodden down, brother, sister. Elijah must have come and gone. Who was it?
Amen.
That makes you think, doesn't it?
Amen.
Kind of puts a lump like indigestion right here, doesn't it? It's no longer trodden down. They got it down. Elijah done come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
You think they missed him? Well, they had to miss him. You think it doesn't repeat? It does repeat. That's why Brother Branham preached God hidden in simplicity and revealed in simplicity. It's so simple they miss him every time. He came just according to Scripture, but not according to their reasoning. They are failing to look for Elijah the prophet, just as who must come and restore, even as Israel did not look for John, and when he came they repudiated him. They will miss Elijah because they're looking for something great for restoration. They think it's word right about it. And I repeat, brother, sister, before God, I don't lie to you. The word restoration, according to the greatest authorities in the word on the Greek, means to bring back to a former condition and has nothing to do with multitudes coming to Christ.
Amen.
Nothing to do. And restoration does not mean gifts, brother, sister. I hope I have a chance to preach on these. On perversion, but I don't think I'm going to make it this trip. Too bad. They will judge Elijah by their criterion and not by the word. What the word says about him, they're going to miss him. They will reject the prophet Elijah, minister at the end times because of their failure to realize that God has to send a prophet to the Gentiles. They will reject the messenger, self-identification. And all the while they say, Paul identified himself, that's okay. And they'll identify themselves, say, that's okay. But when a man of God who's authorized by God, vindicated by God, challenges the whole world, they'll say, ah, forget him. We're right, he's wrong. Now, if that isn't repeating, brother, sister, Israel, I don't know what I'm talking about. See? They claim the discerning of spirits. They do, right today, like Israel. When I was in West Palm Beach, this man named Holloway was with the Calvary Assembly of God, threatened his people and said, I'll really turn loose on that man. He's got nothing but a familiar spirit. He had Holloway and a million Holloways couldn't produce in 15 minutes of vindication this man of God had. Nor could he produce the light. Well, I won't get personal, but you should have seen his family. Supposed to be a God? You bet your life, they're identified. They've got that word. They've got their theologians. They come to church. They worship God. They sing, they pray. They take millions of dollars up. They go to the heathen. They do. They're not going to heathen now too much, brother, sister, because they can't get in. You can't go to India now. They're kicking out. I couldn't go to India. I don't know if I'll ever make it. If I can, it's okay, because I'm not lying about going in. I won't try to, I won't sign it. I won't preach, because if I go, I'm going to preach. Otherwise, I'm not going. Who needs a trip to India? Go through taking shots again and him getting sick, pooey on that noise. Either preach or forget. Can't go to Africa. They've tightened up, brother, sister. No heathen to go to anymore. And they're kicking out those that are there, unless you're worth counting the churches. You want to go to the bit of liniment, rub the old ladies' backs and put the old men's bones and put a little belly, a little rice in their belly, that's okay, you go. But bring this word of God out. And we're not going. I'm going for a good time. I'm not much for word travel. You can put that down. I like America. Say, well, you're soft. Okay, I'm soft. You can't go. Who's going to win the world for God? You going to go on to the World Council Church and win the world for God? Have we got the old Catholic and harlot doctrine and Protestant doctrine? We're going to make the world so good he's got to come back and say, hi, I didn't know it was good down here. I'll come and take over now. No! It says it's going to be such a mess with such a few saved, he's going to destroy it and wipe it off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's your word right revival? There's nothing to. But they're discerning the spirits. They said, well, we know the messenger. It's not this one here. What about these people today? Do you know that in the day of Jesus Christ they were casting out devils? That's right. Most people don't believe that. They think Israel's so bankrupt. Israel, they were so filthy, they had nothing. They were going through a bare old ceremony in the temple, and all they ever got was just a bare old thing. Kill a calf, put your hands on it, kill a dove, circumcise the boy baby, let them get married, let them do this. Dry old dead thing. Jesus said they were casting out devils in his day. Oh, were they? Well, why did he say, by whom do your son cast out devils? They weren't casting out devils. They would have said they were not casting out devils. Oh, oh, oh. Well, they said, sure, they're casting out devils. We've got the real McCoy, too. You haven't. They said that to God himself vindicated. Like the blind man made whole. He said, when in the history of the world was ever a man born blind receiving his sight? Come on, Pharisees, scribes, and the rest of you, tell me. And they said, shut up. How do you dare talk to us? You know the old bluff scheme and the old look down the nose and the old, you know, treatment? They were casting out devils. They were using authority. Using Christ's spirit to do it. Just like Judas. A devil casting out other devils. The spirit of God. And in this day, these men take their authority too. And they write little books about the authority of the believer. And they say anybody can take the power of God and they can do what they want. So here comes people living in sin, like under Brother Branham's ministry. He told me about it. One day in Southern Pines alone, two ministers living in adultery. I don't mean now the fact that they had divorced wives and all. They were living in absolute, raw, naked adultery and enjoying it. But they had altars over it, I think, or something. They came off the prayer line. And Brother Branham saw through them just like he sees through everything. You couldn't hide if you tried. And he just passed them right on. Now they'll go to the next prayer line. And you'll see somebody like the men you know from Tulsa and from St. Petersburg and from up there in Ohio where this other fellow is. It used to be down in Florida. That came out of North Carolina. You know what I'm talking about. And all the rest of them. These fellas from Houston, Missouri, and now are out there in California. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And out there in Dallas, same way. And they'll come in the line with those adulterous preachers. Living in sin, wanting to touch so they can enjoy their adulteries a little more. Right? Come on, I'm kind of vulgar, but I'm doing it on purpose. They'll lay their hands on by the authority of God. Come out of them. I command you, altar seat. I command you, back in the hole. I command, are you the authority of God? They'll take off the sickness. There's the penalty of sin to man. Call that God? Brother, sister, that's God fighting God.
That's right.
That's the kingdom of God divided. Why? The people are blinded. They're literally dividing and destroying the kingdom of God, using the power of God to do it. That's not strange because all the power of the devil's got God's power. Perverted usage. They take authority in his name. Tell lies, live like the devil. And they deceive the poor people under them. Fine, good people too. But blind leaders the blind. Both fall in the ditch. And the people of the last days shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If not the teacher got itchy ears, he's got itchy mouth.
Amen.
Itchy mouth, what he got. They got itchy ears. So they get together. And I want to tell you right now, brother, sister, anybody, even any preacher can have the anointed mouth. Any preacher can have anointed mouth. And anybody can hear. But to have the anointed heart out of which the anointed mouth speaks. Having the mind anointed by the Holy Ghost to reach the anointed ears, to the anointed mind, to the anointed heart, that alone is God.
Amen.
Anything else is just part. Anything else is the rain falling on the just and the unjust. Anything is but the rain of sunshine on the two seeds, one the tare and one the wheat. Even thus as Christ came and went, when he came unto Israel, and they did with him and drawn as they desired, even so will they again refuse the forerunning message of the prophet, and thereby reject the revealed Christ, and failing to be restored by the message, which is a process of time, they will miss the rapture. And as Israel can only reach God by suffering and dying, so the foolish virgins will also die in the tribulation in order to rise in the second resurrection, the judgment. Now, remember very, very carefully that Israel was looking for Christ. They were. There's no doubt about it. They were looking for Christ. But Elijah must first come. And he came. And they did with him what they wanted, which was to reject him. And they crucified Christ. And brother, sister, the same thing has happened today. This is the end time. This is the end of the age, which I taught you the other day on Matthew 25. Where it says, at midnight, the cry went forth, behold, the bridegroom. Not the bridegroom cometh. They've been saying that for years. But before the bridegroom can come literally to be with the bride, he must be revealed. Yes. Because it says he will be revealed.
Amen.
And remember, he was revealed to Samuel by the word of the Lord. That's the prophet.
Yes.
And in the end time, this same one. Notice, John turned to hear, to see the voice. Tonight, do you see the voice? If you do, it's a spiritual revelation of who Christ is. He is God, the Elohim, the Jehovah, one God, Lord Jesus Christ, beheld the Word revealed.
Amen.
But they saw him, and they said the prophet is wrong, and they rejected, and they missed the first step. Will they take the next two? No. The next two will also go by.
Amen.
Just like it did in Israel. And the trumpet will have blown. And the marriage feast will be in the beginning of its consummation. And they'll begin to say, hey, wasn't this supposed to take place? Wasn't that? What's this doing here? That wasn't supposed to happen. And the west coast has fallen in. And the tidal waves have shook the earth. And the earth shivering and shaking because it's ripped back to its axis. And they say, my God, what is this anyway? I guess there wasn't a rapture after all. That those guys that thought the rapture would take place in tribulation, they were right. And they'll start to revise their thinking. But they're going to find they're wrong. Because Antichrist will have snared millions.
Amen.
And the rest will give up their life's blood for their testimony. That's what said the Lord. But he said, not because I say it, but that's the word.
Amen.
That's the vindicated prophet. You see now why they missed him? You see what it is to understand and know the day in which you live? To interpret Scripture exactly the way Scripture is for your day. You see why you were given the Holy Ghost, brother, sister? You weren't given the Holy Ghost to talk in tongues. Woman said to me, you don't even own people here long ago, some time back. And I said, well, Brother Dale, well, why did the Acts 2 and 4 then say they speak with tongues? I said, sister, that's a historical account of that day. It doesn't say it's the evidence. Christ himself said what the evidence was. Paul said the evidence. It's in every book of the Bible what the evidence is. That's not the evidence. That's a historical account. It's just the same as when Paul talked to the man of the Philippian jailer. That's the historical account of what happened. You don't need an earthquake for people to get saved. You don't need to talk in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. That's the historical account. The account is the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound of heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, that filled all the house they were sitting. And they're appearing cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all spake with tongues, and the Spirit gave them hands uttered. That's right, that did happen. But that's the historical account of how he came. It's not an evidence. Have you heard the wind blow when you received the Holy Ghost? Did the fire fall upon you? Well, then, if tongues are evidence, brother, sister, then the other's evidence too. Show me where they spake in tongues in Samaria. You can't find it, then why add to it? See? So how did those people then down there in Peter's day know that they're speaking with tongues is it? Because they had discernment.
Amen. Yes.
They had discernment. Man come along. And one day told Brother Banner, he said, you're of the devil, Brother Banner. Said, well, if that's so, if I'm wrong, brother, I'd like to be put right. They talked for 2 hours. When they left, the man shook his hand and said, Brother Banner, one thing I got in this, he said, if any man's full of the Holy Ghost, you are. Star Daly spoke of a man in Pentecost in an old lifer in the death row. Never get up. And Star Daly said, here this man spoke in tongues. But I went to him and I said, I'd like some of your tithes to help the orphans, to buy them clothes. And the man wouldn't give me any money. And he said, there, that proves you didn't have the Holy Ghost when he spoke in tongues. Star Daly, what does he know? Because he wrote a book? Because he got converted? Is that the Holy Ghost of Star Daly? Hogwash. Star didn't have it either, according to what he said. Because you don't use your tithes and put it as an orphan.
Amen.
Now, where do we go? We talk about having the Holy Ghost because we can jump high, yell loud, scream, feel good, have a vision? No. Peter at Pentecost, because I won't speak on perversion, I'm going to bring it up. But Peter at Pentecost, brother, sister said, this is that spoken of Joel in the last days. Thus saith the Lord, I will put up my spirit upon A-double-L flesh. What flesh? All. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. See? Young men will see vision, old men dream. And then he said, in that day, and upon my servant, I'll put my spirit upon my hand. There'll be the same day. With all flesh, there's no son of God. You generate the vipers.
Amen.
You mixed up crowd. The day's coming when the saint and the sinner alike will talk with some prophets I have visions. My servants will have them, and your gang will have them too. Is there any evidence? Is that the evidence of being full of the Holy Ghost? No. That's the last day. We've got it right today. Those out there denying the word, the false prophets, real signs and wonders, healing the sick, raising the dead, making miracles, talking in tongues, prophesying, and get away from this word. And they don't even know Elijah must first come and restore. They don't even know what restoration is. They have the women preachers, they're chopped off hair, and they're high heel slippers, and they're goofy, gossy ways, and God knows what. And the scriptures are 100% against it. And they turn around and say, well, it really doesn't matter. Why? Because they said so? The Word of God says this. You see it tonight, what it is? Brother, sister, listen. They were looking for him. They knew he was coming. It was the right day, too. They were aware of it. But he came according to Scripture, but not the way they interpret. And so they still say, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven and shout a great screaming noise.
But the Bible says it's not enough. The Bible says it's not his way. The Bible says it's the prophet coming with the message to his soul. He's getting the bride ready. Because he's got to be aware of that. But they said, no, it's our way that there's in the midst. Because Israel said he's going to sit upon a throne. He will. Then they said, little credit, he's done. They said he's a baby. That's it. He's from Bethlehem. That is true. But he had to die upon God. He came according to the will. And the Holy Ghost revealed the ghost. And by the messenger, and it was on the day of the repeat. Who's going to be Peter? Not me. Jesus said, after he got through talking, we have all the mysteries then. And he said, why do you talk in parables? Why are the mysteries? He said, because unto them it is not given to know the things of God. But blessed are your ears, blessed are your eyes, because you know. You can give it to know the things of God. You do that? Mm-hmm. It's the best. You know, you're the happiest people in the world. You're the most vital and blessed people of all the world. Because you have them. You've got to have enough of God, most of it, you're going to reality. You see a little tiny number of folks who go over there. Yes, sir. Go on before I knew the truth that I'm teaching. I said to Brother Branham, Brother Branham, I love you. And I think it's wonderful. I wouldn't even walk across the street to see you days ago, except I know what kind of man you are. Already I knew. So there's a difference between miracles and miracles, depending on the man doing it. Always I loved him because he had to get that word. Word. I'm happy tonight. It was only a few. I saw a long time ago that if he went down and was that man, he wouldn't have many around him. He only had a few. Because the end time, brother, sister, it goes out in blackness, they go after power, they don't go after God. He said, I'm standing at the door knocking, I'm outside the door. Why? Because it's the way they have missed the Holy Ghost. God help you. Thank God tonight for His grace, His love and His goodness, that we might be part of it, stand on it, believe on it, rest on it. Because it's the grace of God. Amen. So rise and be with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we just rejoice in our souls and our spirits, thanking you tonight, Lord, for the blessed assurance that you're here, for the great feeling of reality we have tonight, Lord, in our hearts concerning this word. But said it, Lord, it's just so good to be in your word. It's so wonderful. We just praise you, my God, and something in our heart is like flowing out of our being. Something just pouring out of us, Lord, and I'm knowing and feeling this is true, this is real. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, my God, for yourself. That you have revealed yourself. That you have exposed yourself. That you're doing yourself, Lord, in this age. Thank you, Lord. Surely, my God, the word is effective. Surely, Lord, it's wonderful. And we praise the Lord that we can say tonight that we are that word fulfilled. We are that word revealed. Because that word of confirmation is now being fulfilled in the lives of your people here. Lord, I know the little city here looks around and says, look at those folks down there. Look how they are. They're kind of dowdy. They don't want much. They don't need this and that. Lord, that's wonderful. I'm so happy. I hope people can look at me, Lord, and say, look at that spirit, funny fellow. He's just a mystery. Glory to God. I want to be the prize misfit of the earth, Lord, for I can fit into your kingdom. God, tonight, help each one of us just to be so happy, to be so thankful, Lord, just to be so eternally and internally grateful, Lord,
because we're one of them. Hallelujah. Mark, yes, we're marked, but that's it again. Marked by the Holy Ghost. Marked for victory, marked for the rapture, marked for God. We're those old cities branded as the words of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, you've given us the blessed. And we come up with the life of Christ. Amen. Lord, tonight I praise you for it. And we Lord Jesus Christ, yes, in assurance. And Lord, no matter what comes by, we're just going to be wanting in all of us to stand you to be amongst that number that's gone far. Grant it tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you honor and the glory. And for thou art worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.